Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, family.
I pray that everybody is having a blessed day and that we really talk about the spirit of fear. We started this out on Sunday. And, you know, we had a good talk Sunday, like a get-to-know-you talk, but a also to talk about this spirit that from the very beginning, the Most High said that we had to fear him. But also, the Most High said that not only did we have to fear him, but we had lost some fears that we should have, like the fear of our mother and our father. We lost that fear. Well, and most families, I want to say, like I said, let me stop right there. I said there are no absolutes. So if this hits you, it hits you. If it doesn't, it doesn't hit you. You know, I don't want people saying, well, that don't apply to me. Well, the truth of the matter is, whatever applies to you, I pray that you take it and that you use it to help yourself in your walk. If it doesn't apply to you, then I hope whoever it applies to, that they're able to. But understand that I'm not talking in 100% absolutes. If I say something is an absolute, then I pray that I know that it's an absolute. Nevertheless, we're going to still be dealing with the spirit of fear, but I also want to encourage people because I know that there are a lot of anxieties going on today. All these different fears of, you know, being alone, not being able to make ends meet, fear of loss of intimacy or not having intimacy, growing old, not, you know, growing old alone. You name it, just about any and everything, people out here, someone has a fear of it. You know, they're going through it, and it's causing them some anxiety. And we want to help people and encourage them in the word of the Most High. That if you put your trust in him, you should have no fear. The Most High says, if you really trust in him, then you shouldn't have fear of anything but him. And so we got to understand that. I may not convey this all the time because really my intent is to put the fear of Elohim in you, in all of us, even in myself. You know, I don't believe that we can be afraid enough of the Most High. I really truly believe that when he said, when he came down and he showed the people his might, that it was so that they would not sin for fear of him, fear of who they would have to meet, who they would have to answer to. And I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because most people have not had a true experience with the Most High. In a lot of people's minds, he's what they have made up in their mind. And, you know, so my God wouldn't do this, and my God wouldn't do that. Or my God would be this way, and my God would be that way. You know, it's a form of idolatry. But, you know, for a lot of people who haven't really sought him out and can't look at the things in their life and see him, it's hard to make the Most High real. That's why he says, how you say you're going to love me, whom you have not seen, and some of them have not heard from either. And you cannot love your brother or your sister whom you can see and hear. So I understand that for a lot of people, Elohim, the Most High, may not be 100% real in their life, and they may not really have a real reason to fear him. But the more you read this book and the more you pay attention to your life and the more you understand the things that we go through and how they can take us away from the Most High, and the more you even just try to come in line with the book itself, when we look at our lives and say, oh, I'm a sinner, but what kind of sinner am I? And then we start putting labels to ourselves. Those things just start to put a fear in us. because we have to say, even if we haven't had a real experience with the Most High, we haven't heard him, or we don't know or see his works in our lives, we got to understand that if we believe what we're reading, then we may be in trouble. And that should put some type of fear in us. What if this is true? Because, as I said, for some people, this may not exactly be true. It may not be real for them. Or it's real to a degree, but then, like the man who used to bring his, who brought his son, didn't used to, but brought his son to Messiah and said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I brought my son here. Your disciples couldn't heal him. I had faith enough to bring him here, but now I don't know if you can heal him. Help thou my unbelief. Increase my faith. And a lot of times, I think a lot of our people need an increase in faith to help them walk in the ways of the Most High. So we want to continue this precept in fear. But I really want to encourage people, because there is hope in the Most High. I'm trying to put the fear of Elohim in you to keep you from sinning, to bring you out of your sin. But understand that the Most High does care for his people, and he does love us. And he's going to, for those that make it, he says, you cannot imagine what I have in store for you. Your imagination can't imagine big enough. Somebody can try to describe it. They couldn't describe it big enough. So I don't want people to be thinking that Brother Miles is always gloom and what have you. No, but we are in trouble. We're in spiritual trouble as a people. We're in spiritual trouble as a nation. This world is in spiritual trouble. But I also still, too, want to encourage us that, you know, there are a lot of things in this world and people are going through and they are in fear. And a lot of it is they're fearing the wrong thing, fearing the wrong thing. So let us do our statement of faith. And then we will pray in, and you know how we do. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for keeping us through the night. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to once again glorify you and lift you up and magnify your name, Father. For truly you are worthy to be worshipped in everything that we are, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify you today, Father. And thank you. Thank you for today, Father. Thank you for giving us a mind to want to hear your word, Father. Thank you for giving us a mind and a spirit to want to just worship you and to glorify you and to lift you up, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your compassion. Holy hands, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to fellowship, Father, to study your word and to learn about you. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. Father, we have prepared a place here for you tonight. We need you, Father. Come, speak to your people. Let us know that you are with us, that you hear us, that you will always take care of us. Father, there are those among us that need healing. Healing in our body, healing in our mind, healing in our spirit. Father, you know the need of every man. You know the need of every woman. Meet us where they are at, Father. Meet each and every person. Comfort them. Meet their needs. Especially those that are walking after you, Father, and seeking to walk in your way. Hear their prayers and their supplications. Let them know that you are with them. Now, Father, as we go forth tonight, let it be you that we hear from. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, and in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built by thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. For all and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them away captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, and when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. I think I did skip some. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go and let us get our first verse for tonight. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 26. And while we are going there, I want to remind everybody that this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, Citizenship Day. We want to, as I say, be aware of this and understand that we want to be inviting people into the kingdom, always. But this is Citizenship Day. This is like the 4th of July for a saint. This is the day that the Most High opened up the kingdom. This is the day that that every saint should look forward to because this is the day that the Most High released the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to the world, where he only gave it to kings and to prophets in the past. He did a new work. This is a new covenant shall I make. Poured out his spirit, made his spirit available to all mankind, not just the kings and not just the prophets. And so we have to understand that this is a very special day with the Most High Elohim, because this is the day that every person has a chance, from that day forward, had a chance to become a true citizen in the kingdom of the Most High. This is a requirement, actually, because Messiah said, we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. His Spirit, I shall pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And so each and every saint, this is a requirement for them. But I call it Citizenship Day because this is when the Most High opened up the kingdom for everybody, that they should be able to become a citizen in his kingdom. And we don't want to just wait to this day every year and say, oh, come and get your citizenship. We should be offering citizenship to everybody every day as soon as they're ready. But I am a firm believer these days, and after being in this walk for a minute and understanding that most people have been taught half-truth, have been taught not the complete gospel, haven't been given the correct expectation for what they're coming into, that I would not even offer them to baptize them until they had been properly taught so that they could make an educated and informed decision about what they're coming into. So they're not shocked. I gotta give up this. I gotta do that. I didn't know it was all this. Because for most of us, somebody got us excited, told us we were sinners, and we knew we were sinners. We saw our lives. But they didn't really tell us what the cost was. They didn't really tell us what all we were gonna have to give up. They didn't even really tell us what sin was. We just knew we had lied sometime, or maybe we had fornicated or committed adultery. We knew what those things were. But there's so much more to the law of the Most High, you know, the nature of our relationships and everything. And then we were told on top of that, it don't matter how much you sin, all you got to do is say, I'm sorry. I repent, and then not even really telling us what that meant. But you can say, I'm sorry, even after we went back and willfully sinned, meaning that we knew what we were doing. Some of those things, most of it was half-truth, and some of it was just flat-out lies. Or I don't even gonna say lies, just omitted information. Just didn't tell people. So, no, I'm of the mind, no. You know, you come into this thing, you need to have as much information as you can so you can make an educated and informed decision. And then if you're excited about it then hallelujah, because you're excited for the right reason. But to me, it don't make any sense being excited when you first come into it, and the more you learn, the more you be like, I don't know. Then it's just stuff that people just ignore. I've been finding this out lately too. It's just stuff that people just ignore. I think I want to do a precept on ignorance, but not in the sense that you might think. I'm not talking about ignorance in that people just don't know. I'm talking about ignorance in that people want to ignore. They know and just want to ignore what they've read. what they've heard. I just believe this way. I don't care what that scripture says. I might ignore that. Might have to do that one day. But nevertheless, fear. When you read this Bible, and as we're coming up through life, even before you read this Bible, there's certain fear that your parents should put in you. You know, and I truly believe today too many parents are trying to be friends to their children. When they're children, when they're supposed to be mom and dad, and mom and dad are supposed to be, you know, the ones that take care of them and love them and make sure that they have what they need, and but also to discipline them. And maybe because we have a fear of authorities that they might take our children from us if somebody sees us disciplining them or hears us disciplining them, maybe we don't discipline like we ought to. Just a thought. I know I didn't care. I told my kids, hey, if they come and get you because they say I'm mistreating you, because I'm disciplining you, rather than have them to discipline you, or if you go tell them, let them come get you. Because you are my responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure that you have a proper fear of the law, that you have a proper respect and fear of, you know, grown-ups, that you don't just trust them, but you know what? You don't be all mealy-mouthed and talk back to them either, you know, just having no respect. Just look at your mother and say anything you want to her. No. Or think you're going to say anything you want to me. You know, one time my oldest daughter thought she had got grown. She was grown, but she wasn't that grown to think that, you know, she could just say just anything to me. She found out otherwise. I don't care how old you get. There's certain things, certain places you ain't going with me. Out of respect. I think my mother, my own mother, heard me curse twice in my life and never had heard, ever. One time I was outside, you know, with my friends and stuff, talking mess, and she was listening at the window, she heard. But never cuss in front of my mother intentionally, or my father, intentionally to curse them. Or to curse, let me stop that word, curse. That's what we used to call it, but to really cuss. C-U-S-S, like cussing, like using profanity. Out of respect, I would never do that in front of her, ever, while she was alive. And I never did it to my father either. Even though I fist fought him because of what he was doing to my mother. But I never would cuss him. And then, you know, when I had to knock him out, that was really a sad day in my life, because even then I knew to honor your mother and your father. Even if they, you know, weren't doing the greatest things in the world, my mother did the best she could with what she had. My father, you know, he was out there. But he was still my parent, and I was not going to be disrespectful to them. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, each person has to deal with. And we don't all deal with it the same way. So, you know, my daughter thought she was grown enough. I think she might have been 23 or 24. But thought she was going to say a cuss word in front of me? We're not even starting that. You ain't going to never be. I don't care how old you get. I'm going to be older, and you ain't going to never be that old that you think you can do that in front of me. So don't even try it. Ever. Not with me. Now that's just, you know, that was my standard for between me and my parents. And the same standard I expect out of my children, you know, with my grandparents, my grandfather. I would never cuss in front of him. Or my grandmother. Even my uncles and my aunts, I would never cuss in front of them. Even to this day, if, you know, I'm 63, 64, 65 years old, one of those years, I forget now. I would never cuss in front of them. Because of their positions in our, in my life. So the that fear of mother and father and that fear of elders, I truly believe that we have lost. Not all of us, but a vast majority of our society. You know, they just cuss like it ain't nothing. You know, even when I'm at work, I tell people, it's not professional. So I can't tell them don't cuss and respect me because whatever. That's not professional. But then, you know, like when I was teaching school, all my students, and these were grown people, had already graduated school, a lot of them graduated college, making career changes and things like that into IT. I would let them know in a heartbeat. You don't cuss in the class. You don't cuss around me. We're not going to have certain conversations. And they respected that. And a lot of them still call me today. I mean, seriously, still call me today, and I haven't taught in, heck, almost 7-8 years, students that call me. Well, let me know what's going on in their life. Hey, you still in that word like that? You know it. So, you know, fear and respect. Now, you know, for me, that was a respect thing and not a fear thing for my students. But I think for children and for us with the scripture says that we are to, let me read the scripture because I want us to understand. Like I said, most people have lost this. When I was in the church, last church I came out of, and I really do thank the Most High for that man of God in that church for what they were able to do for me. But go to Leviticus chapter 19. This is kind of a review, but I want us to make sure we understand this because we have, I believe that society has lost this. And a lot of people are not raising their children properly, causing them not only to fear them in the wrong way, but not have respect for them. Okay. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. You shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah, your Elohim. It's a direct commandment. Fear your mother and your father. And I think this goes a long ways toward teaching us the proper fear of the Most High. When we have a healthy fear of mother and father. And when you care about what they think, when you care about how they feel, when you care about breaking their law, the rules of the house, it also goes a long ways in teaching us the proper fear of the Most High. And I really do think it goes back to his saying, you know, when we really look at it. How can you fear me or love me? How can you love me whom you have not seen? And you can't love those who you can see. I think you can apply that to fear and respect and everything else too. How can you fear or respect me whom you have not seen, when you can't fear and respect those who you can? That principle goes a long way. And so I think that if you have children, and I say children, who are still of that age where they are moldable. But see, some of these things you have to put in a child when they are young, and you should put it in them when they are young. It becomes part of their core value, things that they will hold on to the rest of their life, that you you know, teach them proper fear and respect. Can me and my kids get together and laugh and joke and play around? Yes. But then there's a line that I don't care how old you get, you ain't crossing. Not with me. And they understand that. One just had to learn it the hard way. We can still laugh and joke. You know what the deal is. But don't ever come and think that, you know, you can come and talk to me about anything. And there's, you know, you can talk about things and not use certain words that are disrespectful. Okay. We're all educated. And we should be able to talk to each other in a way that, you know, you're going to talk to me with some respect and you're going to, you know, be able to express yourself in such a way that you ain't got to say a cuss word to get it across. Now, I know when you cuss, there's certain thoughts and certain things that just seem like you express it better with a cuss word. But the Most High says it's profanity. It's profane. And, you know, I pray that we can get away from those things, that we set a better example for our children, for people who see us in the world. They got to see a difference in you. If you call yourself a holy man or a holy woman and every word out of your mouth, every other word is a cuss word, how then are you different? People, you know, you'll attract a lot of people because they'll say, oh, you're just like I am. But when it really comes down to it, that's exactly how they'll treat you, just like they treat their friend. They won't treat you like a holy person. They won't treat you like a man or a woman of God. I mean, every job that I've gone on to, I make sure that's one of the first things that they know. So they don't come in and, you know, if they say a cuss word, they'll say, oh, excuse me, but really mean it, not just excuse me. I've had a couple that try, and I'd be like, hey, you know, this is something I'm serious about. So I can understand people getting heated and stuff, you know, they're in the heat of battle or whatever. You ain't no telling what come out somebody's mouth. Nevertheless, if you start taking it out of your mouth, even in the heat of battle, it won't come out. So that fear, mother and father should put these values in their children, because it's a value of the Most High. When we talk like the world, when we walk like the world, when the world can't tell a difference between us and them, then there's a problem. And so if you say you belong to the Most High, people should see a difference in your walk and in your talk. And they should even treat you differently, with some respect. Because you don't do those same things that they do. You're not common to them like that. But that comes out of fear and respect, and first coming out of the fear of the Most High. I don't do it because I don't want to represent him that way. I don't want people to say, oh, you say you're a man of God, and everything I do, you do. What's different? Why should I fear him? You ain't got no fear of him. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. We got to realize who we represent. And fear of him to cause us to want us to have other people see us as we belong to him. And that they wouldn't cuss around him that way. And you represent him. All a mentality. So is it going to stop everybody? No. And I've had some come up and say, why you don't speak to me? I said, because you cuss too much. And it's offensive I didn't know. I said, well, now you know. You want me to talk to you? Can't come around me doing that. Can't come around me being that way. You'd be surprised how many people will respect that if they know that you are that way. But if you're trying to talk with them in their manner, when they really need to get a word through or when they really need to come to the Most High, if they knew you really talked that way, if they knew you talked that way, they probably wouldn't come to you because they'd be like, what's different? There ain't nothing different. Let's go to chapter 12. So we're talking about fear. And I want to encourage you, no matter what your fear is, as long as it's not the fear of the Most High, I want to encourage you. If you don't fear the Most High, I ain't trying to encourage you in that way. Luke chapter 22. And let us start in verse, Luke chapter 12. My bad. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Do not worry about your life. Because a lot of us, this is our main worry, even before we even come to the Most High. We're taught to, if we want to be something, what we want to achieve, what we want to get in, out of life, what status. And all those things are okay until you realize, you grow old and realize, hey, nobody really appreciates those things that you accomplished with you. Nobody really remembers them. Just all your special moments are really special to you. And at the end of the day, when it comes time to meet your maker, what are all those things going to do for you? Not a single thing. So you have to realize what is important in life. What's important is how you treat people, how you love people. But what's even more important than that, on top of that, is how you walk with the Most High Elohim. Are you walking with him in spirit and in truth? Is your relationship with him, is your life such that you don't have to be ashamed? That's important. Do you think you might have a chance of getting into the kingdom? Do you even know what it takes? That's what's important. Because, see, this life is temporary. It's temporal. The happy moments in this life are happy. They last for as long as the moment lasts. Then something can happen and you're no longer happy anymore. Your health is only as good as your health is right now. You could go to sleep and wake up in the morning and be sick as a dog and don't know how you got that way. All of a sudden, something just breaks or happens. You go to the hospital and say, oh, you got cancer. Or you got this aneurysm in one of your veins and you just came in just in time because if it burst, you would have died instantly. You just bled out. See, we everything for us is temporal. We're not promised anything, not even good health tomorrow, except for if Yah has us and we're walking according to his way. You know, even when Moses died, you know what the scripture said about Moses' health? That he had not lost any strength. He was just like he was when he was 40. At 120. Only difference is the Most High said, get up on that mountain and die. Like just like that. Get up on that mountain and die. It wasn't because he didn't lack, that he was sick or anything. Most High said, it's time for you to come home. That was the only reason that he passed. that he died for you and I. Unless the Most High has said, you know, I'm going to give you your good health until this age, and he carries you, you don't know what tomorrow brings. How many times have you gone to bed well, wake up in the morning and nose dripping, coughing, hacking? You know, these things can come and change in a heartbeat. And so it's not promised to us. So he says, don't worry about it. Let's continue to read. If you are walking with him and you have your faith in him and all that he is able to and will do for those, he says, for those that love me. And a lot of people don't ever read that either. Stipulations. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, and what you will wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. They're not storing up anything, trying to save it for a rainy day. Yet Elohim feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, now this is to those of us who have that worrying spirit, something always on our mind about something going wrong, something ain't going to happen. Something's going to happen. We just worry about everything. If it's a good day, we worry about why it's a good day. Just worry. That's not a good thing. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Think about what Messiah is saying there. You can't add a single minute. You see, a lot of people think that their lifespan is in their hands. So they do all these things to try to have, you know, the best health they can. But then you find somebody that's smoking cigars and doing all this stuff and live to be 115 or 20. You don't smoke and you got cancer at 40. High blood pressure, sugar diabetes, and whatever other illnesses that they got out here that we commonly get around, you know, just depends on the person. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. Don't, you know, don't to go out and do things that you know are going to ruin your health. Not what I'm saying. But you got a lot of people that they worry about growing old. They worry about losing their muscle tone. They worry about all these things that are superficial. And they think that it's adding longevity to their life. But the Most High says, your life is in my hand. And the day that the number that I have placed on you, you can't change it one way or the other. Now, we have one instance in the scripture where that happened. I wonder who can name that. Excuse me. King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was deathly ill and sick, and he went to the Most High. And he pleaded his case to the Most High. And the Most High said, all right, because I see your heart and you came to me with it, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. 15 years. I'm going to give you another 15 years because you ain't supposed to live beyond this year. I'm going to give you 15 years. It's the only place in the scripture you find it. But the Most High is able to keep our health. If we get sick, he's the one that's able to recover us, to heal us. If we have to have an operation, he can be in there with the surgeon, guiding his hand to make sure that you come out. He don't even have to be in there. He just say, hey, this is going to come out to your best. You don't even have to worry about it. But we can't really add to our lifespan. Whatever years we've been given, that's already been written. And the Most High says, you know, you can go do these things, but if you're supposed to live to 90, you're going to live to 90. If you were supposed to live to 59, you're going to live to 59. You can't add anything to it. Your number is given to you by the Most High. He says, I'm in control of it, and I can lengthen it or I can shorten it. It's all in his hands. He says, but since you can't add one single hour to your life, why are you worried about the rest? When we understand that it is the Most High that gives men wealth, that gives men power, that gives men whatever it is that is in this world to have, when they're serving him, then whatever we need, he will provide it. If the Most High meant for you to be a billionaire, you would be a billionaire. And see, that's the problem with rich people. The problem with rich people that don't know Elohim, they think that they have done these things in and of themselves. But a lot of times it's either they have gone to Satan, and trust me, Satan has the power to do this as well. A lot of people don't understand that. And there are people who give themselves over to him to get these things. But they use it for their own stuff, and they usually don't live long, really long enough to last to really enjoy it. But then their end state is also written. When Satan came to Messiah and he tempted him, come, let me take you up on this high mountain and show you all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you all of these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. How could he even offer them to Messiah if he didn't have them to give? So he plays a role. But the Most High says that the riches of the wicked are reserved for the righteous. So I allow Satan to give people these things. However, I'll give them to you if I know that you will do right. A lot of us can't have riches. Why? We would do the wrong thing with them. Instead of them being a blessing, they would become a curse. So we want to make sure that we are walking and not worrying. You know, if he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or beg bread. If you are walking upright before him, he's going to always make sure you're taken care of. He's going to always make sure, and I don't care how much money it is. You know, if you are following him and you got big bills, he's going to always come through and make a way for those big bills to get paid. If you don't have big bills and your worry is, how am I going to get to work or how are we going to eat? When I was a young man, I bought my first house when I was 21, and we definitely didn't have enough money for the house, the electric bill. I mean, I didn't even think about all those other bills that came with a house, the electric bill, the water bill, food, insurance, you know, all these other things that when I being in the military, I was used to staying in the barracks, rent-free. Still got paid every 2 months. I mean, every 2 months. Wow, that had been a long time. Every 2 weeks. I didn't have to worry about, you know, how much water I used, or how long I left the lights on, and, you know, all these different things that comes with home ownership. Just didn't have to consider them. So when I got this house, and they qualified me for this house, I and my wife together weren't making enough money to cover all the bills. But we were in church and we were tithing. Never missed a meal. Never was late on a bill. Never lacked for anything because we were faithful in our tithing and being faithful to the Most High. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So we didn't have things coming up, just popping up, and, you know, we have a little bit of money. Some just pop up and take it. Oh, we got to pay for this. Oh, we got an extra $300 this month. Then all of a sudden something happened, and then you got that $300 is gone. We didn't have that kind of stuff happening. And so even though we didn't have enough money for the bills were always paid, and they were not paid late, and we still had extra. And we're paying tithes. That's when I realized, you know, paying tithes is important. But also we were counting on the Most High. So we didn't have a fear of coming up short. We believed on the Most High. And I always have been that way. Just believe on Him. Now, have there been things come times? Well, yeah, the hard times. And I've had to call home and borrow some money. Yeah, that's happened. Yet and still, that was the way the Most High provided, because every time that, you know, I think I only had to do that twice in my life, maybe three times max. But He provided the way to make sure that I was able to pay it back when I said I would pay it back. So we got to understand that He will never forsake you. He says, don't worry about these things. And we shouldn't. When it comes to getting into His kingdom, if you know that you are going to walk upright before Him, you don't have to worry about what your end is. He is faithful to His word. But if you, He says, if you doubt, and I want you to hear this now, if you doubt, you shall not receive what it is that you are praying for. You're praying to get into the kingdom, but you doubt, you ain't getting in because you doubt it. Can we hear that? It plays all the way across the board. We have to trust in Him 100%. And so we shouldn't be fearing or worrying about these things. What we should be doing is we shouldn't be worried about if we're going to sin. We should know we're not going to sin. You should have it made up in your mind. I'm not going to sin. If I know that this is wrong, I'm not doing that. If I know that this is right, this is what I'm going to do. We should know these things. Not be saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Then you're writing yourself your own ticket. You're writing your own ticket. Because the scripture says, he that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So if you know what's right and then you don't do it, you are sinning. If you know, don't do a certain thing. If you know it, don't do it. Even if you used to struggle with it, those days should be over. I don't do that anymore. I don't have a fear of doing it. Don't have a fear of it, because I understand, and you should understand, that right there, that's giving me death. That's going to give me eternal death. I don't care how good she looked. I don't care how good she talked. I don't care how much she is for me. That's death. You ain't my wife. You're death. That's all this is going to bring about is death. Don't care how good he looks, how buff he is, how well he talks. That's death. If they're asking you to go and be in something that you know you ain't supposed to be in, that's death. And so we have to understand that we're not walking in that. Ain't going to even be worried about it. Ain't going to even be a fear that I might fall into it. Because I'm not seeking death. We're seeking life, and that more abundantly. So Messiah says, don't worry about the cares of this world. He knows what you need. He knows what you have committed yourself to. And they will be handled. He'll make a way. You ain't going to just quit working and say, oh, I got a $10,000 worth of bills. The Most High take care of it. He's going to look at you fall. How come you didn't open that mail and see that job offer that I sent you, that I made sure that you would get? Because Most High also believes that he that wants to eat ought to work. So we don't want to be doing these things, getting caught up in the cares of this world and worrying about, you know, I got to go to the doctor every 3 months. Ain't nothing wrong with me, but I'm just trying to make sure I check. You realize those doctors are doing exactly one thing, right? They're practicing. There's a lot of things they don't know that they're trying to know. And they're practicing medicine. That's why they say practice on their thing. I'm going to give you this pill. It should have this effect on you. Should make you feel this way, and it should do this for you. But if not, come back and we'll try something else. And sooner or later, we'll find something. Maybe we get right the first time. Maybe a lot of people be going for a lot of years trying to find out what's wrong with them. And they can never really tell them. But we don't give up, though. Keep coming back. Got a car payment to make. When the Most High, when I got cancer, and I told you about this before, because I made a promise to the Most High I didn't keep, and he gave me cancer for it. But I wasn't going to the doctor for the doctor to make me to heal me. Most had already told me that it wouldn't kill me. But I did have to go get it cut out. But it still wasn't going to kill me. We are not to worry. Be encouraged. Put your trust in the Most High Elohim. It is He. It's all in His hands. And the sooner you realize that, the less worries you'll have. Let's go to Psalm 55. The book of Psalm, chapter 55. The book of Psalm, chapter 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on Yah, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Key word, righteous. You got to be trying to live righteous before Him. You got to be doing all that you can to show the Most High that, hey, I'm on your side. And I want you to be on my side. We can't be out here serving Satan, and then when we get in trouble, call on the Most High. Most High said, I ain't your God. Call the God you've been worshiping. See how what He thinks about it. See, when we come out of that system, when we say we no longer want to live that type of life, and we are coming out of it. We're turning our backs on it. We want to become a citizen in this kingdom. And the Most High looks at us and says, okay, you want to become a citizen over here? Repent of all your sins. Remember what you did. Turn away from them. And I am true and just to forgive you. And I'll take you in. And if you truly are counting on me, you have repented and you've converted, and cast your cares on me. I'm the one that created you. The other one was trying to destroy you. Never meant you any good. I will sustain you in everything that you need and everything that you require. See, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, remember, they left in a hurry. And in their leaving, they borrowed, you know, gold and silver and all these things. But the food and stuff, the stuff that they actually really needed to live on, remember, everything that they ate for the Passover that night, it had to be gone in the morning. If it wasn't gone in the morning, they burnt it. They had what they were carrying with them. And even the bread, weren't even allowed to let the bread, leaven, rise. And so when they got in this desert, don't even have water. The Most High was trying to show them that you can count on me for what? Everything. Not just one or two of you, but millions of you can count on me for everything. We don't have water. Did you bring us out here to let us die of thirst? The Most High got hot. What are you talking about? Go hit the rock. Split it in two and water come out of there to water a million plus people, really about 3 or 4 million people, out of a rock. Desert dry as a bone. Water, and this rock was a flint rock. That means if you hit it with another rock, guess what it would do? Spark. Wasn't no water supposed to be coming out of this rock. But here's this water coming out of this flint rock, and it's making a lake that everybody else can drink out of. He's trying to teach them to count on him. Then when it got further into the desert and there was no food, he says, now, I'm going to provide your food for you. Angel food. Manna. They called it manna. Another place in the scripture, they called it angel food. And I think that they weren't satisfied with that. Even though they could eat it, they could boil it, they could fry it, they could do whatever they wanted with it, it still had this sweet taste to it. But I think, and I forget where I read this at, so this is something else that I read, and I can't remember the source, but it didn't give them a bowel movement. And so they thought something was wrong. And that might have been a rabbinical writing that I read somewhere. So don't quote that, but I read that someplace. Didn't give them a bowel movement. We know their clothes in 40 years didn't wear out. They walked through that wilderness for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Said their feet didn't swell. Their sandals didn't wear out. That was also, when you think about it, a glimpse of the kingdom. Could you imagine you walking around 40 years and your pants never wear out, your shirt never wear out, your dress never wear out, your shoes never wear out? You'll never need to replace them. They just like they were the day that you bought them. And then you want meat because you remember the flesh pots in Egypt. And the Most High said, oh, this man is not good enough for you, even though it's providing everything that you need every day, but you missed the taste of meat. Okay, I'm going to fly in quail every day. 3 feet deep, 10 miles wide, every day. But the first day he did it, he was mad at the people because they complained and murmured. Some of them he made eat quail till they died. I guess the ones that were murmuring the loudest, they had to eat quail until they died from eating quail. That's how mad the Most High was. So he said something to them that they couldn't stop eating. said, I want you to understand that anything that you need, I can provide it. But I don't want you murmuring and complaining, because the things that you're murmuring and complaining about are not worth murmuring and complaining about. You're worried about things that you ought not be worried about. And then you got the nerve to complain about it. When we count on the Most High Elohim, I can only say it to you this way. Just know, no matter how it looks in front of you, he's going to always make a way. Somehow, what you need is going to always show up. Somebody's going to call. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm going to bless you this way. And they don't even have to know your circumstance. But the Most High put it on their heart to do it. It says, so cast your cares on him. Let's go to another verse. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For Yah your Elohim goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what is in front of you, give it to the Most High. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of it. No matter what it is, if you know you are walking upright before the Most High, you got to know this. Because, you know, we've read too many places in the scripture, and I've shown you too many places in the scripture. When there's sin in the camp, what happens to the Most High? The Most High will leave. There's sin in the camp. If you are actively sinning in your life and then counting on him to take care of you, you're really walking on your own and you don't know it. Because the Most High says we have to be with him. Not just in word, but also in deed. And maybe he's still looking after you and your foolishness. Or maybe you're just walking on your own. Like I said, I thank the Most High. He been with me but a child, but I'm thinking there's some times that he got up and left too. No, you just being stupid. You being foolish and you being disrespectful. But he still wouldn't let it kill me. Well, I think he didn't. But I really do believe that he didn't let it kill me. But he wants those that follow after him. You know, the older that we get, really, the older that we get, the more we should realize how foolish we were when we were younger and the things that we did. And we know we weren't walking in his ways. Then we should be thankful that he didn't depart from us or didn't allow something to happen to us. But we might have been at times walking on our own and didn't know it. And that's a fearful thing in itself. So be strong and courageous. Whatever you got that's in front of you that is looking like it's going to overwhelm you, count on the Most High. Make sure that you're walking upright before him. And know that he is with you. You know, it's a fearful thing when we feel like the Most High has left us. That's a fearful feeling. When we feel like he has left us and he's not with us. And we are in fear of our life. We're in fear of the situation. We put ourselves in a position where we could lose everything that we ever, you know, worked for, have done something stupid and could lose the most important person in our life. whatever it may be. But when we are walking with him, talking with him, counting on him, then we can be courageous in all situations. Go into it without fear, because we know the end is going to be in our favor, whatever that is. Sometimes we don't even know what is to our good until Yah does it, and then something we were praying about turned out completely different than what we thought. But it was way better than what we thought, because we don't have no worry about it anymore. It's just been fixed, but it may not have been fixed the way we thought it should have been. But the way he actually provided for it and fixed it, is better than what we ourselves could have done for ourselves. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Verse 13 and 14. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 13 and 14. For I am Yah, your Elohim, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you, declares Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. When we are walking with him and we are being obedient, and Yah says, I will take you by the hand. If Yah's got you, what would you ever worry about? If you can see him, if you can feel him, if you could actually do that, like when you were younger, and maybe the bully in the neighborhood was trying to bully you, and maybe you had an older brother or older sister, and they had to walk with you, how much more safe do you think you would feel if it was the Most High with you? Number one, we know it is a fearful thing to even look upon him. So you know ain't nobody going to be even looking at trying to do anything wrong with you with the Most High with you. Because I got you by the hand. So don't fear. I will lead you. I will protect you. There ain't nobody going to do anything to you, human or otherwise. So when he says, do not be afraid, that's exactly what he's meaning. Do not be afraid. I've got you by the hand. 46 and 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 46 and 1. Elohim is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. When it looks like you got some trouble coming, when it looks like there's no way out, when it looks like the enemy is going to have his way, know that Yah is with you. Know that it can't do nothing to you if you just but count on the Most High Elohim. Don't put your strength in you. Don't even put your strength in other men. Because, you know, people have a way of failing us when we most count on them. Not all the time, but most of the time. Elohim is our refuge and our strength and our present help. You have to believe that he walks with you. And in every situation, he's going to show up. And you're going to get, everything's going to turn out in your favor. Go to Psalms 118. Psalms 118, verse 6 and 7. The book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 6 and 7. Yah is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Yah is with me. He is my helper. What can the enemy or anybody else do when Yah is with you? Cannot do anything. Can't do anything to harm you. You know what the end is going to be in the situation because Yah is going to always work it out for you. And he's not going to let anything happen to you. That's why when you go before, you know, if we do what Yah is telling us to do, we're going to be called into some situation that we cannot fear. And we cannot fear man's face, cannot fear what man is going to say, what they say they're going to do. Because we count on the Most High Elohim. Trust me when I say this. You got a lot of people that are going to fight against even what you're being taught. Why? Because it calls them into remembrance of their sin. It calls them into remembrance of how they think about Messiah. It calls them into remembrance of how they don't fear the Most High. And when you testify with a boldness, everybody ain't going to want to hear it. Everybody ain't going to believe it. And most people are going to want to run from it. I was in a room, I believe it was yesterday, and I go in this room to read scripture, and they'd actually asked me to come and tithe. And so I was teaching tithing, and, you know, a lot of hard-head brothers, a lot of hard-head sisters, you know, wanted every kind of reason not to tithe. And so I told you that, you know, the one thing most upfront is that this spirit of whoredom on our people and our disrespect of Messiah and what he has done through willful sin. So as I was speaking, one of the brothers came up after I spoke and said, you know, you said that if we willfully sin, there's no more blood, no more sacrifice. He says, well, then how does one repent when they sin? I said, you know, I'm glad you asked me that. I said, because number one, you should have known what you were getting into when you came. So if you are ignorantly sinning, there's a way out for that. But if you willfully sin, and so we read the scriptures. I said, I don't want you to say Brother Miles said anything, because I said, when I say this and when I teach this in most forums, you know, some people get upset. And I expect them to get upset. And I'm not worried about them getting upset. I said, I'd much rather have you come into truth than worry about you getting upset. I said, but what I don't want you to do is kill the message. I said, because what we are about to read, these are not my words. These are the words of the Most High. I said, and since you, you know, asked about it, then let me show you. So even after I showed this brother, you know, it was, he had been so taught, it was so ingrained in him that he says, you know, I hear what you're saying. I said, I said, those are not my words that you read. I said, those are the words of the Most High. That is not Brother Miles' doctrine. Those are the words of the Most High. I said, you have been taught wrong. You've been taught incomplete. And the Most High has given it to me to be able to show you where we have all fallen short I said, what I'm telling you this, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself as well because I was taught the same way. I said, so I don't want you shooting the messenger. Just read the scriptures and let them talk to you. And if it's not meant for you to see it, I'm not here to convince you. I don't want us to be worried about our salvation. If we line up with the word of the Most High, we don't have to fear the lake of fire because we're lining up with him. If we come to him with a pure heart and in truth, even after we have done this, I said, you know what? I'm just like anybody else. My salvation is in if the Most High decides to give me mercy. Because I was in the same boat. The Most High just allowed me to see it. And yes, I repented with my whole heart. Trust me, because I was distraught. Yet will I trust in the Most High. And I will err on his side, if it's error. But I will draw close up unto him. And I say, oh, somebody's trying to keep me from getting in the kingdom. No, I'm not trying to keep you from getting in the kingdom. I'm not trying to teach you that, you know, the Most High is merciless. Because he has mercy and he has grace and he has love. So he just don't have much of it for those that spit on him. And I was one of those people being taught wrong. And so this is, you know, from love, that you walk upright before the Most High, that you worship him in spirit and in truth, and that you understand that, hey, we have all fallen short. But now that you know to do better, I pray that you do better. And there's many of us that no matter what we're told and no matter what we read, we're not going to trust in him. We're not going to walk in truth. We're going to make up stuff. We're going to make excuses. We're going to ignore the word. But the truth of the matter is, put your trust in the Most High and draw near unto him. And even if you have been wrong, the day you find out what's right, don't do wrong anymore. Hold on, I'm on call. So let me play a song, and I'll be right back.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation, we gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters, we gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you, them preachers, they gotta confuse. Come out of her, cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots, we gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in this the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seeking to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat.
All right, amen. Not quite done yet. Give me a hot second here.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord,
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Lord, make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire for my altar never burn out. The fire for my altar never burn out. May the fire for my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out.
As you fear men, they might make you do something out of fear of them. Like a common thing a lot of women may run into on the job. Some man makes a pass at them and says, oh, if you want to get promoted, you'll do me a favor. You know what I'm talking about. And out of fear of keeping the job, we do that thing. Trust in Yah. Put your cares on him. And don't fear this man, but because in that case, you will get into a snare. And next thing you know, he wants it more and more and wants you to do things, and all because you fear you might lose your job. Anything that we put ourselves in that kind of situation into because we fear some man, and we don't really trust in the Most High in all those situations, then usually that situation ends up becoming a snare to us. And in the end, you still lose the job or something else happens. So you can just put your faith and your trust in the Most High and know that he is your present help, that he's going to take care of you. He's going to keep you safe. Go to the book of Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 4. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 39 and 40. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, or peace, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? When you know that you're dealing with the Most High, no matter if the storm is raging around you, you got to know that what? He's the one keeping you safe. He's the one that no matter what it is, you could be in the middle of a hurricane. Your faith in him, and even your faith in the ability to pray and to speak to the wind, just as he did. Remember, he said, greater works than these shall you do. So if you're not afraid, you will speak to it. We'll let you know that what you say, what you declare is what will manifest itself. We have to understand this is the faith that Messiah was talking about. That why are you afraid, as if the wind and the rain and the storms and the waves have the ability to do you harm when you're in the hands of the Most High? All you have to do is speak to these things. And a lot of times our faith is not in accordance with him. Okay. Let us go to Psalms chapter 34. And this is why I pray this prayer every night when we depart. Psalms 34 and 7. The angel of Yah encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Why ask the Most High to encamp his angels around us every night when we leave, when we depart from these lessons? Because the angel will keep you safe. The Most High, he is not going to disobey the Most High. And we have to understand that being citizens of the kingdom, we can petition the Most High for what we need. We need his protection. We ask that he assign the angels to encamp around us. to keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, to keep us safe from those things that we can't even see, that might be lurking, that somebody might have sent, you know, because there's people that practice witchcraft. So when they get to your house, they see that angel, trust me, they ain't coming in. They ain't going to let them in. So we have to pray to the Most High that he sends his angel to keep us safe. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, Elohim will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. You know, this is another concept that he says, if you and your brother are having a dispute, why not let your brother get over on you? The Most High says that he'll handle it. Even if your brother got over on you, the Most High will repay you for it. That's why he says don't close our hands to the poor. But if somebody is, if somebody's doing you wrong and you still do the right thing, know that the Most High is going to take care of the situation for you, and he will reward you for it because you stood up and you were that meek and that humble person, and you didn't argue for the argument's sake or to try to, you know, hurt your brother or your sister or to get over on them or do whatever. You said, okay, I'm just going to be this meek and humble person, and I'm going to give in to you. I'm going to let you have your way. Now, when I say have your way, I'm talking about in this situation, even though I know that I'm right, but because, you know, you're adamant about it, I'm going to let you be right. But Yah says he will reward you for it because you were humble and you didn't seek to hurt your brother or your sister. Psalms 34 and 4. And truthfully speaking, this is probably one of the better verses to reinforce your spirit. Psalms 34 and 4. I prayed to Yah, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. When you pray to the Most High, and he answers you, there is nothing like that, to know that the Most High has actually really answered you. And whether it was in a dream or whether it was by a little kid, you know, that you know, don't know anything about what you prayed, but they said something that was just so out of the way, you know that it was the kid talking. Or he speaks to your spirit and you hear it in your spirit. Or he speaks to you audibly. See, however he deals with you, when you know that it is him, then you're not going to fear anything else but him. There's no feeling like that. I'm here to tell you, there's no feeling like that. And especially when you know that he has accepted you, that your prayers have come up, and he comes and he answers your prayers, and you know that he is with you, then what are you going to fear when you know the Most High hears and listens to you? What are you going to fear? So, what time is it? It is 6:53. Let us bow our heads Father Yah, we thank you. We know that you look out for our best always. If we walk in your way, if we seek after you, if we are looking to do right in everything that we do, Father, none of us are perfect, and you know this. And you look into our hearts, and you know those things that we do in ignorance. And you know those things that we do willfully. You judge righteous judgment, Father. And we pray that you accept our humble prayers, that you watch after us, that you cover us in your cloak, that you humble us, that we walk in your ways, Father, that we will always be, let me change that you will always be on our side. Secure us. Let us live joyful lives knowing that we walk upright before you, Father. And even when things don't look good, when it looks like the enemy might be having their way, we won't lose our joy or our peace, for we know all is in your hand. Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, encamp your angels around your people. Rebuke the spirit of fear in their lives, of whatever it may be. Rebuke it even now. Let them know that it shall not have power over them, that you are their strong provider and their protector. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen, amen. All right, y'all willing, Thursday night is family business night. I will not be on call, so I won't have any fear of that. We will hold the family business meeting, cover some things that we missed last week. And I pray that Yah strengthens you, that he encamps his angels around you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, brothers and sisters, remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom.
So what can I do if I don't have you? follow by you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.